Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 745. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
You know, the weeks seem to be flying by here recently, which is a good thing. There has been a lot of wrestling to watch. And, yeah, I would be remiss if I did not agree with what you wanted to start with. Cody Rhodes. He is really getting the star treatment in his entry back into the WWE.
You don't say. Getting his full entrance with all the pyro twice in an hour. that is it's the kids say a baller move. I mean,
oh man, yeah, that is something else.
He feels like a star on the level of no one else except Roman Reigns at this point. He really does. It's amazing. I wasn't sure what to expect when he came back, but...
I mean, I'm waiting maybe for one more Raw or something for it to be locked in. But yeah, he got a great reaction. Yeah, he got a great reaction at WrestleMania. And, you know, like we said, the Raw crowd was a little tired, to be generous, last week. But they still reacted pretty well to Cody Rhodes last week since he got the lead off the show. And, yeah, that's the other thing. It helps to lead off a show.
It really does. I was surprised they had these two... You know, go through the full pageantry of their entrances, be out there for as long as about 15 minutes for the Miz TV segment, and then came back 45 minutes later to have the match. I would have thought that match would have closed. It did not, but I don't believe any of that dampened the fans' enthusiasm, as occasionally happens in those situations where someone has entered twice, once for a promo and then for their match. That was not a problem here. Cody is incredibly popular. He is arguably the most over babyface in the entire wrestling business right now. Which, from where he was 3 months ago, that's an astounding turnaround. Much back where he was 3 or 4 years ago. There is something about Cody right now. He's a very captivating person to watch right now. It wasn't just a fluke. As you said, we could see at least one more town he goes to, how they react to him. But man, did he just do everything right? in building his brand, it's amazing, and hats off to him.
Yeah, the fact that he's gotten to keep everything to this point, you know, music, gimmick, the whole thing,
neck tattoo.
Yeah, again, getting that off is not going to be easy. The wife, she just hadn't watched that much AEW, and she's like, is that thing for real? And explained to her, yes, in fact, he has that ugly, I believe the quote was ugly ass thing on his neck. It's just like, that guy's turned that into something, though.
Yes.
And yeah, good for him, I suppose. Like, if you're gonna commit to that, I guess you go for it. Yeah. And I even I guess I hadn't thought about it honestly. But I mean, I already saw the merch line, and it's one of those things where I know I get WWE emails occasionally, but I feel like I got it two different times. Like, that's how big they're pushing Cody Rhodes, that I've already gotten two emails with just his Nightmare Collection. Very stone cold of him to come in and have like four shirts off the bat.
Yeah, and apparently he's doing quote unquote Cena numbers with his merch, and that does not surprise me. There is just something about this move that has just resonated with everybody. I mean, you're always going to have your people who were sick of him in AEW and aren't going to give him a chance here, but man, it really feels like it's night and day from where he was at the end of AEW.
Well, yeah, like you said, that is the thing too. Like, it wasn't that long ago that Cody was doing great for himself. You know, we talked about it for probably the first year of AEW, where he was holding water and everyone else was having problems. And then that trend ended up reversing later. So yeah, like he definitely has had an off at least year, I would say at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is, I guess it isn't too crazy to see this working. And I do think that, well, we talked about it. He kind of painted himself into a corner, and Tony Khan didn't want to unpaint the corner, you know. How many
Yeah.
wrestling promotions have gone back on the whole not challenging for this championship stipulation? You know, like,
All of
yeah,
them. For this, yeah. No,
you know,
it's
if
an angle,
they,
it's a gimmick.
it, yeah, it's a gimmick. Like, if they had done that for Cody, like, I wouldn't have been one way or the other, you know? Would that have been enough to keep him there? I don't know. But yeah, I guess if he's doing quote unquote Cena numbers already, he is off to a pretty good start, and definitely making the right move.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
holy smokes.
Now, for all they've given him so far, and with some of the numbers that were thrown around as far as the financial investment, I don't think they're going to make him eat crow at all, or have to, prove himself or be humbled in any way.
Oh.
If they have him lose the second match to Seth Rollins, that would be a gigantic mistake. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he is going to be put in position to face Roman Reigns sooner than later. Because you do have to strike while the iron is hot. Now, it's not going to be in the next two pay-per-views because they're just the B is the B shows. But in that stretch to Money in the Bank, to SummerSlam, to the stadium show in Wales in September, he's getting a shot. He's getting at least one shot at one of those shows, or more of those shows, and he might very well end up winning the title.
Yeah, that was something that I didn't think would be on the table. But yeah, from the early signs here, I would definitely be throwing that on the table now. You
Yeah,
know, like
no. Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, he has a win over Seth Rollins, and you know, The Miz has been playing the disrespect card for about, it feels like 10 years now. But it works for him, so keep on running with it, I suppose. But still, not everyone gets a win over The Miz.
No. I mean, a lot of people do, but not everybody.
Yeah. And Cody Rhodes getting an immediate win over him in fairly easy fashion is it is a strong move, too. You know, I mean, the Miz is definitely up there as far as high level job guys, I suppose, at this point. Like, he, well, I mean, he gets his share of wins, but, you know, I still think he's used more as a stepping stone at this point. But, I mean, I guess what, how long ago was that he had the championship for the hot minute?
It was like 14 months ago now, so it wasn't that long ago, no.
Yeah. But I mean, that is the only real taste he's gotten since the other reigns were fairly short too, weren't they? Or the other reign was fairly short?
No, he got about 5-6 months out of it, I think.
Oh, okay. I was thinking three.
He got to retain at WrestleMania. He got to beat John Cena. I mean, I guess The Rock beat John Cena, but what? Miz was there. the old coat rack holding the WWE Championship.
Yeah,
he was there.
Yep, that's the origin point of the Salt story, and that continues to this day, just in different incarnations. But, Cody Rhodes, it's going to be interesting. Like, this, we weren't sure who was going to be able to face Roman Reigns next as a real legitimate opponent. And I would argue that the WWE kind of punted on that, too, considering that his main storyline is the Usos attaining the Raw Tag Team Championships to unify them currently.
Roman Reigns is definitely... Once again, we don't know exactly the health situation with Roman Reigns. Again, it doesn't seem like it's serious. They're not talking about taking anything away from him.
They're not keeping him off TV.
it wouldn't surprise me if he stays away from... Because he did not... The Usos super kicked Shinsuke Nakamura. Roman Reigns didn't touch him.
Oh. Right.
So there might be some concerns there. You know, if you've got to throw up an opponent at him for a WrestleMania backlash, I guess Nakamura is as good as anybody. But at this point in Nakamura's career, he's not credible as a possible, you know, person to actually win the title. From Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is coming off of beating Brock Lesnar clean as a sheet.
Yeah.
And 2022 Shinsuke Nakamura is just not on that level. I'm sorry.
Yes. The WWE Shinsuke is not the New Japan Shinsuke. It was for maybe his first match against Sami Zayn. That was against Sammy, wasn't it? In NXT?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That was great, but things... I mean, I guess they went well enough that he won a Royal Rumble, so I mean, it hasn't been that bad. But they've never really been behind him either. Like,
not in that sense.
Yeah.
He has ups and downs. When they actually started having Boogs, Russell, and them team, that was definitely a defining doubt of Nakamura, in my opinion. Oh. He's really not ready to be a incredible opponent for Roman Reigns. But if that's what they got to do to get through a B-show month, then so be it.
If it isn't him, like, there's probably another list of people that are kind of in his area.
There really isn't either.
You know, like, we've talked about it. Drew McIntyre is the only one that really has the physicality to match up with him and hasn't fought Roman Reigns, at least recently.
I mean, Drew is definitely someone but Drew is more someone for one of those bigger shows down the line.
Oh, yeah.
Unless Cody gets there first. Yeah. So I mean, that really is their two leading their two lead options right now.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't too surprised to not see Roman Reigns involved in matters the other night. Just because he tends not to involve himself in those matters if he doesn't have to.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to say if he has an injury or not, because they do a great job of keeping him out of the ring. I can't think, like, he hasn't been in, like, one of those tag matches, has he, with the Usos, even? You know how they always have groups of three or something? Think. Yeah.
I mean, they've done, I mean, he's...
I'm sure he's done some.
Wrestles on SmackDown. Roman's actually done quite a bit of wrestling on SmackDown. Weirdly, more during the Thunderdome era that he would wrestle on SmackDown.
No,
but overall, lately, no, he has not really had many matches on SmackDown. No, I don't know if he's had a match on SmackDown in 2022.
Yeah, like this era of his character has definitely not had a whole lot of matches. so. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to, if he is indeed injured, it's easy to hide it and keep his role moving just because he hasn't wrestled that much in the recent past here. I mean, he's on God mode, man. He's the tribal chief. Yeah. He doesn't need to be out there every week. Toiling like all these other schlups.
No, he does not.
I'm trying to think of what else is even in that stratosphere of wrestling importance.
Well, we mentioned it. We might as well talk about the tag team situation. Because it's related to Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah, I guess we didn't talk about that part of things. I guess it's going to be interesting to see what they do going forward with the championships. It would not bother me if only the champions could switch shows. And they just did things
I'm absolutely fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with keeping things the way they are. I'm fine with there being only five championships, six maybe, total. If you continue to do some eliminations, eliminate these tag team titles, and just having the champions switch back and forth. I am 100% okay with that. I'm okay if they do it with the women's championship. They're kind of the U.S. championships, I guess, could stay brand specific, but they could also be unified too, for all I care. Yeah. I'm not sure anyone really cares.
Now, considering that I think of them interchangeably, it's not a good sign. And have for a while now.
No, not at all. No. I think unification is a good idea. Now, until Roman Reigns is walking around with one championship belt, the championship splitting is always a possibility.
Oh,
that they could go with. But. No, going with the tag titles thing is it's a good move. They did some good stuff with it last night. Orton and Riddle had another pretty good match with Alpha Academy. Then that led to the challenge from the Usos, the interruption by the Street Profits. Street Profits and Usos wrestling each other in another damn good match, which the Usos winning. Setting us now on the course for the unification match between the Usos and RK-Bro.
Yeah, and I guess that's going to be the next interesting step. I would think that you would consolidate the titles. Like, I mean, if that's the way, you know, I guess this feels like one of those decisions. I guess I'm with you that until I only see one championship belt for Roman Reigns, I'm going to have suspicions that it's not going to be a true unification. But, if the Usos win, it would almost be strange not to do that.
Yeah, it would be very strange to keep that facade going. I mean, and for the Roman Reigns thing, you could have him lose one but keep the other. Especially he could lose the WWE Championship, but still keep the Universal Championship for over 2 years. Say he kept the Universal Championship for over 2 years.
Oh.
You could play those semantic games.
Right.
When that time comes, I believe, by the end of August, early September, it's possible that they would go in that direction, but I would like to see unification. I mean, when I watch the bigger pay-per-views with a larger group of people, they are, especially a larger group of people who maybe haven't watched in a while, they're casuals, they are absolutely gobsmacked at the amount of championship belts floating around. And they think it's very silly.
It is a lot. And cutting down on the number of them, especially, they obviously trimmed down the roster. So there's just that to start with. The tag teams got hit kind of hard because, honestly, had we really seen, I feel like maybe we have seen Street Profits and Usos already.
Oh, yes, we did. We definitely saw that last year, last fall it was SmackDown Tag Team Championship.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was going to say that the Street Profits are like the freshest blood in the situation, you know. Because you have New Day, and you got the Usos still. It's a good thing that everyone wrestles really well.
It is.
That's I guess that's where I'll leave that. It would get a little stale here if everyone weren't very good at their jobs.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've gotten multiple RK-Bro versus Usos matches out of this whole deal as well. Because not only did they wrestle 2 weeks ago on Raw, they had the match at Survivor Series, too.
Oh, yeah.
And for the life of me, I can't remember who won that match. So that's how memorable that match, that whole pay-per-view was.
Yeah, it's a recent Survivor Series. No one's going to remember it. Oh, man. Champion versus champion. Hey, I mean, I would be up for, just any change in format for Survivor Series, honestly. I mean, I like the traditional thing. But they have just not really built it for the traditional thing recently.
Yeah, it might be time for that to come back, but I don't think they're going to go in that direction. But we actually have champions, but especially now that we're having champions versus champion matches on a frequent basis that actually have stakes to them, that are there for all the marbles. We're going to unify these tag titles. I imagine they're eventually going to unify these women's titles. Who the hell would possibly care about Survivor Series? These non-title matches in Survivor Series at this point.
Oh.
Well, actually, no. That wouldn't even happen. You can't even do Survivor Series like that. That's right. I'm set a brain fart there. Yeah, so you'd have to change the format of Survivor Series.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, that could be a side benefit to unification that I had not thought about, but could be out there if things do go that way. And I'm with you. They definitely could use it just from the depth perspective. I guess I could see if you want to talk me into keeping the U.S. and Intercontinental titles, I think you could do that. Other than that, I'm good with everything being unified. Women's titles, both sets of tag titles. Although I think the women's is already for both brands, isn't it?
It always has been.
Yeah.
It's weird that up until now it's been the only title that could do that. And that works out just fine, especially with the numbers with the numbers of women. That you bounce back and forth and see the occasional three-way and four-way and all that. That works out. It's fine. So let's go down those paths with everything else.
Yep. It could benefit everyone. Are they having that match next week?
That's a good question. I actually don't know. It might be Friday on SmackDown. On SmackDown, they implied the actual match itself could have happened on Raw, but it didn't. So I don't know. I imagine it'll still be for WrestleMania Backlash. That makes sense.
Oh. Yeah, that would make a great deal of sense. Yeah, because I guess I was trying to find... No, I don't see a date. Okay. I was checking to see if the write-up that I had pulled up had a date, but I don't see one for that potential match. So, Not a big one, but the timing doesn't completely matter. But that should be another, everyone knows how to wrestle. It really helps that tag team situation out.
Yes, it does.
Well, there was some other interesting stuff, I suppose, in the WWE. Do we want to keep on talking about tag teams and talk about some Sasha Banks and Naomi?
Sure, we can do that.
I'm trying to figure out who they're... I guess I was pretty surprised... honestly, that Liv Morgan ends up picking up a big win against Sasha Banks on SmackDown, and then takes an L to Naomi on Raw.
Always gotta take that L, 50-50 booking. Gotta love it. But right now Liv's not being put in singles contendership. She is being put in tag team contendership, although her partnership with Liv Morgan with Rhea Ripley has been after a one-night argument is on shaky ground. And they got a one-week reprieve due to what appears to be a health situation involving Rhea Ripley, although one that doesn't appear to be serious because they're already advertising that match back again for next week's Raw. I don't think Sasha and Naomi are losing those titles anytime soon. And I could, once again, I think we mentioned it last week, I could certainly see Rhea Ripley turning heel and joining up with Edge and Damian Priest.
Yeah, that would not be surprising in the least. And Liv Morgan, I guess I feel like she has a spot. But they have so few B characters, especially for the women.
No, women are, women really aren't allowed to have non-title storylines that stretch to pay-per-views. They can have their little, their mini storylines. They get blown off on TV. But if Liv Morgan, if we do the Nikki Cross thing, and Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley break up, and then it's just week after week after week of Rhea Ripley throwing Liv Morgan around and just beating her like a dog, yeah, that's not good for her.
No, that would be a very bad sign. Taking an L is one thing, which would not be terribly surprising. Taking the number of L's that Nikki Cross did is a different subject.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that one isn't too deep. So I guess it was kind of interesting to me, staying with the ladies. It was something that truly caught my eye scanning through the reports here. The return of one Lacey Evans.
Yeah. Once again, trying to use her life story to set her up for a babyface run. This didn't work the last time. We will see what happens this time.
Yeah, she needed a reboot.
She did need that.
I'm not gonna fault them for trying something, even if they've tried this before.
She was dressed like a normal person. She was not dressed in some 1940s whatever, propaganda ad for the U.S. military.
Yeah, she had kind of a pin-up style, it would be what I would call that.
She if they do away with the outfit and the music and give her something more contemporary, she might have a chance here.
I think there's better ways to tell her story. But it is also one of those things that, to me, that's a get your foot in the door part of the gimmick, and that you've got to kind of work from there later, too. Would you agree that it's just kind of a good starting point?
Yeah,
so...
It's a starting point.
Yeah, she could be someone that... I guess there's... Oh, and I also forgot, just because we are talking about re-debuts, there was the other debut also of Raquel Rodriguez. I'm trying to remember if that was Rodriguez, SmackDown or Raw.
That was SmackDown. Yeah, Miss Rodriguez, as she was always known as.
Hey, you know what?
WWE, they gotta change
something. One of the least offensive changes to me. At least someone's like, they want to have the branding, and I'm like, guys, you can have the branding without making people's names just horrific. Because, Raquel Rodriguez definitely got off easy, in my opinion. Poor Ludwig, and I'm trying to remember what his last name was. Oh my god. Why? Why did you think Ludwig?
Was Marcel Bartel really at Grenadine? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't really see much of him. Marcel Bartel isn't exactly a great name that rolls off the tongue either.
No, not the best name to start with. I will agree with that. But that's still a pretty trash. Trash. Ludwig Kaiser. That's what it was. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that sounds very Nazi. Yeah.
Well, they were before the Nazis, at least historically, but. Okay.
Okey-dokey. But then we have these. Something a lot of people never thought we would see. The SmackDown debut of Gunther, a.k.a. Walter. And, once again, I've had my issues with his presentation recently. I hate to fault a guy for getting in better shape, but his different body type, the music change, and the name change have all kind of added together to take away a little bit of the aura at the very least.
Oh. Yeah, it is kind of strange that getting in better shape is, you know, it's definitely made it, to me, it's made him look taller.
Well, he could definitely use to look taller, because the problem is when he starts wrestling the taller people in WWE on the main roster, he's not going to look that impressive. No matter what they do, he's not going to look as impressive. I mean, we remember that Survivor Series where they just decided to job him in 5 minutes to Drew McIntyre. Didn't really look very impressive there.
Right.
I mean, he's always looked better against smaller guys. They gave him a local jobber, so you know he beats someone a lot smaller than him. We'll see where they go with him. I'm interested to see, because it is definitely it's a different type of fit. For old Walter / Gunther.
It will be interesting. I mean. It's always good to get a squash win to start your career off. But, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Because, yeah, he's going to be one of those guys that when he starts getting to the Drew McIntyres and Roman Reigns of the roster, that he is not going to be the bigger guy in that fight. And selling him as a powerhouse is... If they commit to it, it'll be fine.
Yeah, no. It's all in how they commit to it. Yep, absolutely. So it's all in how they get it, how much they got, what he brought to the table, particularly in NXT UK.
I mean, he just really did not have much of a run in NXT, honestly.
No.
Jeremy and I were just like, huh, why did Gunther lose that quickly to Bron Breakker? As soon as we saw him on there, we're like, well, that would explain things.
No, I mean, they're paying the guy quite a bit of money. It's not like he needs to work on his style or do any kind of real training in NXT or at the Performance Center. Yep. Might as well bring him up and see what he's got. And speaking of, you might as well bring him up and see what he's got. Tommaso Ciampa made his formal debut on Raw on Monday.
Yes, he did. That one was... that was kind of funny. I forgot that... He was selling for Ezekiel.
He was. He definitely sold for Ezekiel. Yeah. I mean, an inauspicious start, but you got to start somewhere. I mean, I think at this point in Ciampa's life, he should want to have this whatever this run on the main roster can be, and then retire to a producer or trainer position. I don't feel like he's a guy who needs to be go back on the independent scene and go back to that grind.
Yeah. I guess if he wants to do that thing, he can do that thing. Yeah. I don't see him getting a major role on the main roster. But any role is a role. I mean, I can't believe at this point somehow, you know, Akira Tozawa has saved the great purging of 2020 through 2022, and is proposing to Tamina on TV.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Tommaso Ciampa is going to have that role, but that, you know, he could be sticking around for such reasons.
Well, you might as well. I mean, I think something was said that now the main roster minimum is $250,000 a year. $250,000 a year to chase someone around in those 24/7 segments, and then otherwise. Eat catering.
Yep, work out.
Sign me up for that. Sign me up for that.
Less travel than the old days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be at least somewhat decent living to make if if that's the way one wants to go. Yeah, because I don't. I'm trying to see if I could even picture him as an IC / US champion level contender. Guess smaller people have held it, but
yeah,
he definitely makes up for it in physique. I suppose that guy is really ripped.
Definitely ripped.
Does that take care of all of the debuts? I believe so.
Yes, I believe so.
Okie dokie. Not quite a debut, but a second showing. Veer Mahan. Quite the wrecking ball on Raw this week. Dominic Mysterio nearly getting deleted.
Dominic, at this point, you just gotta send Dominic to NXT. There's just nothing left of him, credibility-wise. There's nothing. There's no juice to a feud between him and his dad or anything. It's time to either, if you don't want to give up on him completely and disrespect his father, you probably should send him to NXT.
That when they came out to NXT together, I thought for sure that they were going to announce that Dominic was signing with NXT.
Yeah. I thought for sure Ray was dropping his son off at the corner store and then, and then never picking him up again.
They showed a lot of faith in him early on. It has helped that the young man has gotten to wrestle a litany of great wrestlers.
Early he did, but he has. But it feels like since he's been for the first time in his career wrestling in front of an actual crowd, it feels like he's regressed.
Oh.
And at this point, I know there are people that people can rip on for their physiques. There was an unflattering picture of Adam Cole that went around that a lot of people, dunked on Twitter and whatnot. I don't know if anyone has a worse physique in big time wrestling than Dominic Mysterio. Just seeing him in the ring with Logan Paul, being who was jacked, and just seeing the shape that Dominic Mysterio showed up in, like, just watching him get walloped 2 weeks in a row by Veer Mahan, I'm just commenting, like, I guess this is what happens when you skip arm day on the road to WrestleMania.
It feels like some type of workout change could be of benefit to him.
Yeah, it's felt like take your son to work day for a while.
Yeah, and that has been the other thing. Like, they had a time period where they could have pulled the trigger on dad's being overbearing, and we have a Ray versus Dominic match. It felt like it kind of got pretty close twice, honestly.
Yeah.
And they didn't pull the trigger, and you're right. At this point, it's too late. Like, it was available. It's just not at this point. Dominic has just been around for the ride.
Yeah, no, he's doing embarrassing quick jobs. Now, they've obviously lost faith in Dominic. They needed to have the celebrity tag match at WrestleMania, and they wanted Ray involved. You know, they wanted Ray involved in something prominent because he's the face of the video game. But now that that's come and gone, it's pretty obvious they have no faith in Dominic as a man unto himself.
Oh, yeah. And he's at this point kind of dragging Ray down. He's definitely dragging Ray down. I'm not sure that Ray's going to have a whole lot of super high profile stuff. But just throwing him back into the singles division would help out.
Yeah, it would absolutely help.
Trying to think if there's anything else off the top of my head. I don't know. Are you broken up over Madcap Moss and Baron Corbin splitting?
I can't even talk about it.
I feel the same way. I'm verklempt.
Yeah. I don't know what they see in Moss, but it's not there to me. But then again, I for the most part not seeing what they see in Corbin. But here we are, six years into this thing, eight if you count NXT.
Oh man. Wow, he was still in NXT for 2 years, and I felt like he had one of the shorter runs there.
Good. Yeah, no, I believe he started sometime in 2014. Yeah, it was in 2014 when he started. It may have not been quite 2 years ago, but it was definitely 2 years removed from his years ago. 8 years ago now.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything else WWE related.
Well, we got we still got more of the ladies to talk about.
Yeah, we do. That did happen afterwards. Much to no one's surprise, Bianca Belair beat Queen Zelina on Raw. I was surprised. In another way, I wasn't surprised. It really feels like Sonya Deville was ready to get back into the ring a while ago. She has been teasing a comeback against Naomi for quite some time. Is she going full-time wrestler now? Again,
I imagine she's going to be removed from power over this fiasco. fiasco. I think that's where we're headed. But she's also not winning the Raw Women's Championship either. This is a clear B show. You know, it's a clear B show dominant performance for Bianca Belair. Just a showcase win.
Yeah. Whether or not Sonya stays on the roster is kind of immaterial, because this outcome is definitely determined.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is going to be one and done. I don't think they stretch it to Hell in a Cell. If anything, maybe Becky comes back to get a Hell in a Cell match with Bianca, so they can, you know, you can give Becky and Bianca a reprieve, so you don't have to do a schmaltzy finish with them to get them to a Hell in a Cell match. You can use Sonya Deville as a stopgap, and then bring Becky back for that. I'm just throwing things out there. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if Becky's planning on taking even more time off or what have you. But it makes sense to me to, just throw something, throw a different roadblock at Bianca for WrestleMania Backlash, and then bring Becky back into things, and then from there, then move on from there, and what they move on to from there might be unification.
And I mean it. I guess it's with all of the kind of all this women's stuff popping up. I suppose it's at least of somewhat minor interest to note that Asuka and Bayley not back into the mix still.
No, they're still not back in. As of now, I don't necessarily see them getting back in. Maybe Asuka more than Bayley could get back in, because she's the type you could give her some squash wins just to reestablish her. But Bayley, especially if she's returning in about her same heel persona, you don't really do like the squash win thing with her. Maybe you put her back in something right away of note. But there's nothing to put her in if the two women's title feuds are set in stone for the next few weeks.
That is a little bit of a problem for Bayley. She's either got to have that or some type of real feud she can bite into, and I'm not sure. Did she get injured in a particular match against someone that she can blame and come back and feud with?
Well, she was feuding with Bianca. I don't remember what match she was having, but she was definitely feuding with Bianca Belair. So once again, if they want to go back to that, they could. And we'll see. Yeah, I mean, obviously now we've got Charlotte and Ronda in an I Quit match. So weird situation where Charlotte first refuses the challenge, but then the next day it's announced on Twitter that the match is happening.
I suppose I did not see the Twitter confirmation. Can't say I'm completely surprised.
Apparently the social media guy has a lot of stroke around there.
Oh, man. Good for the social media guy.
But Ron and Charlotte definitely have a chance to redeem themselves from WrestleMania. I think a all-out brawl will suit them better. And then you got, at this point, they might as well close with it, especially if Roman Reigns isn't going to have a spectacular title defense.
Hey.
If he's going to have one at all.
Right. Yeah, they were kind of put in a funny spot on that card, too, at WrestleMania, honestly.
Yeah, They were. They followed a lot, and then people just wanted Stone Cold by that point.
Yeah, it was pretty well into the evening, and I'm not surprised. I think the brawl could help out. Rhonda is not great at promos. Like, it's the weirdest thing.
She's never been. I believe she was born with some type of speech impediment. So promos were never going to be her strongest suit. But yeah, then they got to figure something, some ways around it. So she's not being asked to carry these long segments.
Her getting a mouthpiece would be fantastic. I feel like Paul Heyman gets thrown out there for everyone, so why not just say Paul Heyman?
She's a babyface.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't even need to be that. Just have her speak in short sound bites. Keep most of her talking backstage. You know, in front of the audience, she kicks ass. It's that simple. Because if she's got a microphone in her hand for too long or in front of her face for too long, she loses her train of thought. She stutters a lot. Yeah, she's just doesn't sound confident. Yeah, she's lost a lot already. I mean, her fame was so long ago now. Her aura as a legitimate badass was so long ago. This return has been awkward, to say the least.
And I don't think it helped that I feel like I saw a headline that some woman in the UFC was calling Ronda a joke to everyone there still. And I'm like, yeah. I mean,
she is still the reason you're getting this opportunity. Women in MMA should probably. I'm not saying you have to put her up on that big of a pedestal, but just a little bit of respect, I think, would go a long way.
There is definitely a reason. Whatever paycheck you're getting, which. Most people seem to complain about the paychecks from UFC, whatever they happen to be, are still courtesy of her. I'm with you. I thought it was kind of a strange thing, but then again, I saw a headline. I'm not sure what the woman actually said, so it might have been way more tame than the headline led on to.
And Rhonda has been known to personally rub people the wrong way. You know, Rhonda's had her issues with certain public statements she's made and just her general attitude toward people in the past. If people don't like her personally, I guess I don't blame them. But to call her a joke, that's kind of uncalled for. You want to call her a bitch, go ahead, I guess, but don't call her a joke.
That is an important distinction. Anything else WWE-wise?
No, I think we're pretty good there.
I will say, every time that, I see Bryan Danielson wrestle, I feel better and better about, did I put him on a Mount Rushmore or a top five of my favorite wrestlers sometime recently on a Twitter post?
You might have. I don't necessarily recall it, but we'll go with that.
Yeah. The more I watch him wrestle, the more I'm just like, yeah, I really like this. I did not really see a whole lot of his American Dragon first run, But his WWE through AEW stuff so far has just been something else. I have really been enjoying his character. I saw the review for, or I pulled up the review for Rampage like normal, and I'm like, I don't really need to talk a whole lot about that show. I just needed to get that sentiment off my chest. So,
well, I mean, there was also the John Moxley Wheeler Yuta bloodbath.
That one.
One way bloodbath, I should say. Wheeler Yuta earned his paycheck and in real life, fan and kayfabe, he earned his spot in that group.
Oh. I would have to think so. After taking on both guys twice now in singles matches?
I think so.
It seems like a shit or get off the pot moment. And he has hung with them longer and longer in these matches, it feels like.
Yeah.
Or even if it isn't longer, they've definitely done a great job of selling how much he has hung with them. And it's just like, yeah, you just really need to go with this one and get him away from Best Friends. And at least give them someone in their stable.
Yeah, and when the time is right, when Orange Cassidy is up back 100%, you can do 6-man tag matches there, and eventual one-on-one matches with Orange Cassidy versus Bryan Danielson and Orange Cassidy versus Jon Moxley, which I would be incredibly excited for.
that would work out great. Poor Wheeler Yuta is still going to be taking some serious L's in this setup.
Yeah, but you also got Chucky and Trent, to take some L's as well.
I would imagine. Cause what, has Chuck not been around?
Chuck's been around. Chuck's been around. Where has he not? I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I guess I just Chuck, feel Chuck, like Chuck. Beretta Trent has been the one in the matches. Oh yeah, because it was Danielson against Beretta.
Maybe Chuck hasn't wrestled a little bit. I know Orange is walking around in a sling from the ladder match, but I don't know exactly why Chuck hasn't been as active.
Oh yeah, if there's news out there about his about an injury or something, I am unaware of it as we speak here. So that's where I'll leave that one. Moxley and Danielson definitely holding down the Rampage fort this week.
Yes, they did, and they held it down very well.
Anything else wrestling related to talk about before moseying on out of here?
I think we're good.
Bell time beer of the show. My brother-in-law gets beer delivered from out of state. This is not such a thing that I do. But the man has some pretty good beer taste. Treehouse Brewing Company is brewed in Massachusetts. And I've tried a bunch of hazy IPAs from them. And this one is a double IPA just called Haze, 8.2% alcohol. And I want to say that I've had four of their different beers. They all taste different, but they all just have this really good quality to them that not everyone gets to all the time. And it is pretty impressive how good all of this stuff is tasted that I've tried from them, and this haze is no exception. So thank you to my brother-in-law for giving me I want to say that he gave me three or four of these from Treehouse Brewing. And since hops also kind of decay as they sit in the fridge, I am trying to get to some hoppy beers here as of late, along with the ciders. So that is the hashtag Belltime Beer of the show. Yeah, I mean, if we can get it delivered here in Ohio, I would imagine look up some Treehouse Brewing if you like the IPA thing. So at Frank11, at Stunt Cali, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.